Welcome, open-minded viewers, to Science and Spirituality on Supreme Master Television. In March 2005, a unique scientific conference entitled Quantum Physics Meets Kabbalah took place in San Francisco, California, USA, with Kabbalist Rav Michael Lightman and American quantum physicists William Tiller, Jeffrey Satinover, and Fred Allen Wolf in attendance. Rav Lightman is the founder and director of the B'nai Baruch World Center for Kabbalah Studies and founder and president of the ARI, Ashlag Research Institute. The three scientists appeared in the critically acclaimed American documentary, What the Bleep Do We Know? The conference was fascinating and featured closed discussions and panel presentations before students and teachers from the University of California, Berkeley, USA, and Stanford University, USA. Rav Lightman gave a concentrated overview of Kabbalah and ancient spiritual wisdom, explaining the structure of reality and how the main substance of creation, the desire to receive pleasure, evolves. We now present excerpts of a documentary that was produced about the event by the B'nai Baruch Kabbalah Education and Research Institute entitled Ups and Downs in San Francisco.
It all started when we saw the film What the Bleep Do We Know? We are members of the World Academy of Kabbalah, headed by Rav Michael Lightman. Having seen the film, we were surprised at how close modern science has come to confirming the Kabbalistic view of the universe. Scientists specializing in quantum physics have discovered on their own the depth of matter described by Kabbalists more than 3,000 years ago, and we decided to go meet with them. We arrived in San Francisco in March 2005. What did we expect from the meeting? We wanted to be heard. The people in the audience were mostly young students who had come to meet their favorite scientists. The film was a hit in North and South America, Europe, and Japan. It had collected more than $10 million in box office revenue by that time. More than 420,000 DVDs had been ordered the previous month.
Ladies and gentlemen,
it started out as a regular scientific conference. Scientists approached the podium and began to speak about the science to which they had devoted their entire lives, about the film that had turned them into stars.
I gather pretty much everybody here saw the film. Is that a fair assessment? So I don't have to review anything in it.
In exotic physics, there is a higher electromagnetic gauge symmetry state than our normal environment, which is called the SU2 state. And at that state, electric and magnetic monopoles are naturally supposed to coexist.
Our next speaker is Dr. Wolf.
And then Dr. Wolf approached the podium. No one had anticipated what was about to unfold. He didn't say a word about his own science.
I really don't know what I'm going to say to you. You know, I had been studying physics, and I knew something about that technology, but Kabbalah as a science was something that never would have even dawned on me. I don't care what you're doing. There is something about this field of way of thinking, of seeing, which can improve anything. And I don't care if you're a Jew, a Muslim, Gentile, Arab. I don't care what you are. I don't care what nationality. I don't care what religion you belong to. There's something in this that will, I think, awaken something in you.
In order to understand what had happened, we need to go back to the previous day, to his one-on-one with Rav. Unfortunately, we didn't start shooting from the beginning, but Wolf's question was how to stop endless conflicts all over the world.
The soul consists of three lines, middle, left, and right. All the conflicts in the world are over who controls the middle line. There is no use trying to settle these conflicts on our level. We have to rise along the middle line. The two lines on the sides are long, containing 10 sefirot. The middle line is short. It begins above the lower third of the other two lines. The left and the right lines are connected to the middle line and provided with their lower thirds. And that causes all the conflicts, pain, and suffering in the world. We need to disengage from this lower third and rise up to our own parts, which are the vessels of bestowal. We can accomplish this only with the help of the upper light, the light of Kabbalah, the light that surrounds our souls, that enhances our vessels of bestowal, and that makes them stronger than the lower third. If we can transform ourselves this way, the same process will take place in all of humanity, in the billions of people that live today. I will give you the introduction to the book of Zohar today. This process is described there, starting from item 60. It tells us how we can change the entire world through inner transformation, because each person has a small world within him.
When people study Kabbalah, it gets them, because suddenly certain truths about what is going on, what is this happening, begin to become clearer than they were before. And suddenly you begin to see whatever it is that you're working on, whatever it is that you think is the most important thing in the world, begins to kind of dissipate into something less of less importance. And you begin to see a bigger picture of what's going on. Kabbalah will help liberate your mind from any shackles of thought that keep you ensconced or enclosed into a certain way of thinking. Now, if these words are awakening you right now, you know it. If they're not awakening you right now, then I'm suggesting to you that you've fallen asleep. Thank you.
We will pause briefly for some messages. This is Supreme Master Television. Welcome back to Science and Spirituality. We now continue with excerpts from the documentary about the intersection of science and the spiritual tradition of Kabbalah, entitled Ups and Downs in San Francisco.
We agreed to meet later that day behind closed doors. We drove along the streets of San Francisco and shared our impression of the past day. We were preparing for the day to come. We knew from personal experience the effect that Kabbalah has by repeating the same question day after day. But they no longer come from the mind, they come from the heart. One begins to search for the middle line that Rav had described, the middle line within, and it's not easy. And so it happened.
Are you a practitioner of this observings of the six or more senses? Can you talk about your experiences in that world? I would like to learn from you what you're talking about. Otherwise, it's just all guess.
No.
He doesn't want to
because it doesn't have the same sense and the same reminiscence.
You can't just throw that at me and say, accept it, this is the way it is, I'm Kabbalah, that's what it teaches you, and if you just do this, you'll be...
So please allow him to talk. And
sure.
The wisdom of Kabbalah states that reality is only a will to receive. For self-fulfillment, that desire is built through expansion of the upper light. Light is giving, bestowal, love. We call it creator. It created something called a clear vessel, or a desire to enjoy, which wants to be fulfilled by precisely what is in the light.
And then Rav began to describe four phases of the upper light.
If the creature receives pleasure, the creator enjoys. If the creature doesn't enjoy, the creator does not enjoy.
We must give full credit to the scientists. They sat, listened, took notes, and began to understand. The fact that they were open was a testimony to them being genuine scientists. Then, Dr. Wolf raised another question.
You laid it out beautifully, but I want to understand better. Just so, if I may, see if I understand this right. One, there is a creator who desires to give. Mm-hmm. Yes? Ken?
Okay.
So the whoever gives to a dummy. A dummy. It's just a golem. Gives to a golem.
Okay. Right?
Okay. Now, the next thing, from 2 to 3, what happens there?
In stage 2, it begins to feel the giver itself, its nature.
In stage 2,
The golem is coming alive. Is that what's happening?
And everybody joined in the discussion.
It requires a threshold of light.
Dr. William Tiller.
To spontaneously generate consciousness.
Entrance of the light and its departure builds these impressions, these vibrations in the clear, in the consciousness.
Dr. Jeffrey Satinover. As it turned out, this was not his first encounter with Kabbalah.
The Ramchal talks about the world having a deterministic and an indeterministic component. And also about some human beings just having no place whatsoever. I'm referencing that from his book, Derech Hashem.
Ramchal was one of the greatest Kabbalists. Ramchal taught Kabbalah. He was thrown out of his city. He was boycotted. Derech Hashem, the path of God, is a path of 10 sefirot. The entire spiritual ladder is divided into 10 parts. Even the first part in this ladder is already above the barrier.
A tornado swept over San Francisco that evening, but we didn't notice it. We felt that we were close to finding a common language, but there were clashes to come. Back at the lecture.
If the heart is the desire, then the point in the heart that awakens is the sensation of the Creator. And at that time, a person, through this point, begins to want something that's beyond the desire. Such people, there aren't many in the world, but those who awaken, and they grow and they grow. Those people want to realize that point, but at the end of the day, everyone, in the end, all humanity, the billions of people, will have to come to the evolution of that point, and they'll have to reach the same level as the Creator Himself.
And then Rav mentioned a topic that we now know is a touchy one.
Because the Creator, because He is good, well, He created the creature with the sole intention of bringing it to the good.
What kind of God is this?
Rav approached the board again and continued to explain.
Our common soul is called Adam. It's that kli, that vessel that the Creator had created with our will to receive. And it's filled with the upper lights. Now within this body called Adam, there are all the parts connected like in one body harmoniously. Now this soul is broken. It falls into a degree which is called below the barrier. And at the barrier, the spiritual sensation ends. Here below the barrier, there are those the same parts, but feeling that they're disconnected from each other. That's the breaking. Everyone's egoism, because of that, we'll understand why we need to willingly rise up back to unification.
There were moments when we thought we'd have to pack up and leave. We had the sense of a total lack of communication. This is a glance back at one of our meetings.
You seem to be presenting the Kabbalah as the truth, and it read like dogma.
Be open
to the fact that there are other powerful models.
People come to me from every generation. They are so different. No one is limited. Anyone can begin to study and see how it works within them.
That's not what we're saying. No. Physics. We had Newtonian mechanics. It was wonderful. It explained everything. And everybody believed it was right. And then came quantum physics. Now, people don't accept new things when they come in.
I have developed a model which I find is very useful in explaining it. I know I have not proven it. I know it is not the truth. It is a work in progress. It's a theory in progress. And it will take a long, long time to prove.
Because they attain reality from below upward.
How do you even know that? You make a statement like that.
Still, despite it all, the scientists stayed on. They listened. They took notes. As scientists, they know that ultimately this is the only way to discover the truth.
Please join us next week for the continuation of this fascinating interaction of scientists with Kabbalah wisdom. Thank you for joining us for this edition of Science and Spirituality. Coming up is Words of Wisdom after Noteworthy News. May the world be enveloped in love.
For more details, please visit www.suprememastertv.com/EE.